RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Great show. If you want to rewind, check it out on the Odyssey app. Salute to Tiki Barber. Tiki's back, and he's back as a champion because he went to the Derek Jeter golf event and won it.
Yes, we did. We did. But let me also say best wishes to BT. BT was my partner, as you know, for 11 years. And then we jumped over to the Fan for a season, and I've been with you ever since then. So lots of respect for BT. Taught me a lot about baseball. The reason I can have these conversations with you is because he forced me to talk baseball.
He turned you into a baseball savant.
I know, and now I've gotten really good at it.
Yeah.
But a lot of respect for BT.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Great man, great family man, and we'll miss him here at WFAN.
Absolutely.
But yes, I did go down to Derek Jeter's tournament, and I was partnered with a group. It was very interesting, and I'll get to the reason why in a second. But we won because we made a ton of putts. And Vito and who else? Brett and Brad and Eugene. Those guys were awesome to play with. But most importantly, Vito, there was a hole, par 5, where you could buy a hole in one.
Buy a hole in one.
Yeah, it costs a lot. You're raising money.
Oh,
it's all
okay.
about raising money for Jeter's Turn 2 Foundation. And he's done an amazing job. 29 years going strong with Turn 2. And guess what Vito did? He bought a hole in one.
Oh, wow.
So we got a 1 on a 5, a par 5. And so, yes, we won. But we might have skirted the rules a little bit.
Hey.
Actually, we just bought our way to victory,
which
is what the Mets were supposed to be doing.
And this is why Tiki is so important right now, because there is mixed messages going on regarding the New York Mets. And by the way, we got a busy show today. The new afternoon program, Craig and C-Mac, will stop by at about 4:20, 4:30. We will also unveil the most memorable moments from New York sports coming up right at 4 o'clock in 25 for 25. And we'll get you set for what is a horrible weekend of local NFL football. But earlier today, and this did cause an outrage in my Mets text chat, and certainly amongst Met fans. And it was a little blurb written by Mike Puma in the New York Post, in which he writes, the Mets estimate their payroll for next season to fall somewhere in the $310 to $320 million range with multiple holes remaining. This much seems clear. The team isn't in a hurry to challenge the Dodgers payroll mark from last season of $400 million. So that's posted. And very quickly, Met fans say, Cohen is lowering the payroll. What the hell is this? Cohen is lowering the payroll. Steve Cohen, who has been very silent on social media, He's used it before, but for the most part, over the last few months, he's been very quiet. In fact, his last main post occurred after the Met collapse, in which he apologized to the fans.
Yes.
But during the offseason, we haven't heard from Steve until today to respond to that little blurb in the New York Post. And I want to read his response. You tell me what this all means, and I'll certainly tell you as a Met fan my feelings towards it. Steve writes, payroll watchers, I'm sorry, as typical, the usual idiots misinterpreting a Post article on Mets payroll for 26. I can't imagine our payroll to be lower than last year. It's always hard to predict, but that would be my best guess. He then posts right after that to say, payroll watchers always forget to budget for waiver claims, player movement from minors to majors, and trade deadline moves. That's how it typically works.
Right. So who's he calling the idiot here?
Yeah, he's calling someone the usual idiot. Who's the idiot?
Well, it sounds like it's the New York Post writer, because he's the one that gave the fan the number that then the fan reacted to.
No, I think he's calling fans idiots.
But why?
Because, listen, again, as typical, the usual idiots misinterpreting a Post article. So he's saying the article is fine. He's saying, you dummies who give me money, you idiots who are freaking out on social media and saying all I care about is a casino and I'm cheap and all that kind of stuff.
Why's he got to be so mean?
You're idiots.
Why's he got to be so mean? Why's he got to be so harsh? Why you got to call your fans and your friends, so to speak, that are paying exorbitant prices to go to Citi Field? Why are you calling them idiots?
That is my biggest issue with
that. That's a misstep, man.
It is a huge misstep, and we'll get into what he means, and certainly you can interpret it for us. But as a fan, Steve, kiss our asses right now. Like, and I don't mean like that in a derogatory way. I'm saying be nice to us.
Right.
Like, don't take the approach of you guys are idiots. Take the approach of what you did the day after the season ended, which is I'm sorry. And I'm also sorry that you guys are devastated over the loss of Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz. But trust me, we're going to continue to spend. Don't be frightened. Like, what Steve should have done, if I'm going to give him any advice, not that he wants any from me because I'm an idiot, apparently, even though I didn't misinterpret the article. I didn't even react to the article.
Right.
But what Steve should do is be the kind of leader that says, I got you. Don't worry. Don't freak out. But to attack your fans by saying the usual idiots misinterpreting a Post article on Mets payroll. Met fans are angry right now, Mr. Cohen. Now, they may be happy come April, but right now in this moment, as we get ready for Christmas, they're not happy with you.
Evan, I also think he's, because he doesn't post anymore. He doesn't go out and tell the fan how he feels on social media. And the one thing that he should have done was say, after the Pete Alonso signing, Edwin Diaz less so, but mainly the Pete Alonso leaving, going to Baltimore, he should have said what the fan felt. This sucks. We wanted to keep Pete here. Explain it. Like, give an emotional reaction that the fan could relate to. By not saying anything, it's almost like he's saying, I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
And now you're calling him idiot. So let's follow. Edwin Diaz goes to the Dodgers because you don't communicate well with him. Pete Alonso leaves. You say good riddance.
Never made an offer.
Never made an offer, and you don't say anything about it.
Right.
And then when the payroll question comes forward today, it's you guys are a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
It's misstep after misstep after public misstep after public misstep after public misstep. Look, this may work out phenomenal for the New York Mets. And again, we have to wait to judge that until the offseason is done, until you get ready to go to pitchers and catchers and the season's about to start. And ultimately, you got to judge what happens at the end of 2026. But right now, the public misstep by the Mets is clear and evident, and it is frustrating if you're a Met fan.
No doubt. And when I say kiss my ass, like sometimes kiss my ass is used as like screw you. I'm not saying that.
Kiss my ass.
I'm saying you should kiss our tookuses and be nice to us.
Now, can you please just come over here and kiss my butt, make me feel better?
Yes.
It's two different ways to say kiss my ass.
You're right. That's on me. So for all you idiots that misinterpreted it. But that's what I think the Met fan wants. Like, I look at leadership, and I say what I want a leader to do, and I look at the owner of the New York Mets, like the owner of the New York Yankees, like the owner of the New York Knicks. I look at owners as like their presidents, like their presidents. Make us feel better.
Yes.
Like, we understand that right now we can't see the whole picture. We can't see what the final payroll is going to be. We can't see how you're going to replace the production of Pete Alonso. And I get that. It's like a painting. We've used that analogy before. But don't come out attacking. Like, what you need to do right now, especially if you're going to want to sell tickets, which I'm sure are not going to get off to a good start once they go on sale, is basically pull the Bill Clinton. And I'm not even the biggest Bill Clinton fan, but he did something really smart in 92 during that campaign. He just said, I feel your pain. It was a very simple line. He said it to the American people. I feel your pain. I'm convinced that's why he got elected,
yeah,
along with Ross Perot spoiling it. Those two reasons got him elected. What I need as a Met fan, I'm just one guy, feel our pain.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Feel our pain. You don't have to get defensive. You don't have to say we're idiots. Just feel our pain.
Show the Met fan that you are on his side.
Yes.
Because apparently this is what he bought the Mets for, because he's a Met fan. And he's going to treat it like a Met fan, but obviously one with prudence. And you hire the right president of baseball operations, and you hopefully put together a winner. But ultimately, you got to approach it, or at least publicly support it, like you're a Met fan. And he's not doing that at all. It's almost like he's gotten on the defensive because he's getting attacked, because Edwin Diaz leaves, Pete Alonso leaves without an offer. You're bringing in all these ex-Mets, at least in the bullpen, Devin Williams and who was the one they just
Luke got? Weaver.
Luke Weaver.
Don't forget Luke.
Right, Devin Williams and Luke Weaver. And, you know, it's just there's not a ton going on. It doesn't feel like you're using your resources to gain advantage. And the Met fan wants to know why.
And if you're going to use social media as the bully pulpit or a way to communicate with fans, then communicate with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now in the Steve Cohen era, and he's been here for a good 5 years since late in 2020 when he officially took over from the Wilpon regime. And trust me, as mad as we may be at times at Steve Cohen, no one wants to go back to the Wilpon regime.
No.
But in the last 5 years, I think this is the moment where Mets fans are their most angry. They're most angry coming off a collapse, and they're most angry coming off an offseason in which there's a lot of what's going on.
Right.
So use the bully pulpit to calm us down.
Use the bully pulpit. Don't attack.
Right. And I'm sorry. I take it, I'm just one man, as this is an attack on fans, not writers. And I'll tell you why. Because that New York Post article came out behind a paywall, and I didn't know about it, honestly. And you know me, I'm all over the Mets stuff doing Rico's until about 5 minutes before Steve Cohen tweeted. I found out about it because I started getting emails in the Rico, and I went to the article myself, and then I was getting text messages like, can you believe what Steve's doing a payroll? So I didn't see any writers attack the Mets.
Right.
I saw Met fans attack the Mets.
That's right.
So when Steve says, as typical, the usual idiots, I think, fair and right to say he was attacking Met fans. He was attacking people who are angry on social media or angry by emailing the Rico. I haven't seen an expose in the New York Times calling Steve Cohen out for being cheap. I haven't seen that. We didn't even hear sports talk radio mention it.
No.
Like, it wasn't a thing. So maybe you will interpret it differently. As typical, the usual idiots refers to Met fans. That's how I take it.
Yeah.
And if he wants to clarify, clarify it. Because right now, I feel like I'm under attack.
Okay, so maybe
I didn't even do anything.
Maybe he's talking about the trolls. Maybe he's not. He's talking about the comment trolls, the subtweeting trolls. Maybe that's what he's talking about. But a lot of those people who are responding or whatever are also Met fans,
right?
And so you can't lump everybody in because it just feels like you're attacking your fan base. Because he's not talking about the media. You're right. When you reread it, he stands by what the report says. It's just the reactions to the report is what he's upset about.
Now, we are open-minded people. There are some who think he wasn't attacking fans. He was attacking writers. Let's hear from the other side, including Keem in Bridgeport. Keem, you took that as an attack on writers and not fans?
Hey, Cheeky, you should be ashamed of yourself. Letting Evan go on this long rant. Getting Met fans all riled up. That is not what he's trying to say.
Okay,
man.
So what's he saying? My gut was like you, Keem. I thought he was attacking the writer.
What all the stuff coming out and him being a, you know, not being a fan's best, best guy there, I think he was just trying to calm everybody down. Like, whoa, we're not trying to do that. Like, I didn't say that. Like, he is talking about the writer, whether he wrote it wrong or not. But the calculated man. So I don't, I just think that was more of just saying it the wrong way.
Let me get this straight, Keem. You started off by saying basically I'm an unhinged idiot. And then you, by the end of it, said, this is the way I interpret it. Okay, good for you. You can interpret however you want.
Yeah, that's the problem with social media. It's going to get interpreted many different ways.
Yeah, and the reason I interpret it, and I'll stand by this, as an attack on fans is I haven't heard any media members comment on it. Like, what am I missing? It was a blurb in the New York Post behind the paywall that I only heard about through other fans complaining and talking about the payroll and what the payroll may be. So maybe Steve meant to rip writers, but as Tiki said, under the unknown of social media, we're going to interpret it however we want or how we deem it. And I interpret it as the idiots are fans.
By the way, all he had to not do was say idiots. If he just says this is a misinterpretation of whatever, then we'll be fine. It's just now he's making his point clear without insulting anybody.
And here's the other thing. And Sean, this is a big day for Sean Morash because he's learning how to press buttons. But as a Yankee fan, I think I'm going to have a drop the mic moment for you and for every Yankee fan out there who's listening in on this conversation. If Hal Steinbrenner put a statement like that out, what would Yankee fans' reaction be?
We'd be upset.
That's where you got to turn your mic on. You're getting close.
This is a disaster already.
Go ahead.
We'd be upset. We'd be furious.
Yes, you would take it as Hal just called me an idiot.
Yes, I'm an idiot. I don't know where this money's going. I don't know how to read bylines. I'd be furious. I'd be pissed off. I read Steve Cohen's tweet and said Hal got in his ear. That's the way I read it.
And so we are still living in a world in which there are some Met fans who are going to always defend Steve Cohen. There are going to be some Met fans who are all ready to attack him for everything. I'm in the middle, man. I don't want to attack Steve Cohen, nor do I want to be his press secretary. I'm going to be honest. And you may not like my honesty sometimes. Sometimes it'll be I'm kissing Steve Cohen's ass. And sometimes it'll be I'm horrible. Well, right now, I took it as the fans are idiots. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
That's
now,
what it
shut up and
like.
Let me do my job.
That's what it sounded like.
Thank you, Tiki.
just in time for you guys to spend those money, that money at that holiday season with those tickets, huh? Nice and cheery.
Tommy, did you take that as Steve Cohen calling you and others idiots?
No. Not me, but I think Tiki's onto something. It's probably the bad faith Twitter accounts, because think about it, he went on Twitter, so he's probably getting a lot of at mentions, and it's probably the same trolls that at mention him all the time, so we put out this statement to shut them up, because those people could, you know, perpetuate that kind of propaganda, so he's shutting it down. And he used the word idiots, not for me, not for you, Evan, but for the trolls.
But it does leave it open for interpretation.
He needs to tweet something else out. I said I was talking about Met fan Bobby Bonilla 655 underscore.
Exactly. And
I think as an owner, you got two choices right now when you're going through the midst of an offseason. Either address what's bothering fans, and I think Steve can do that in a very eloquent way, which is, I feel your pain. I know you're upset. You got to trust us. We have a broader plan.
He should have done that after the Pete Alonso day. Edwin Diaz day happens, what was that, Tuesday? Yep. Monday.
It was on a Tuesday. Pete was on a Wednesday.
Pete Alonso day happened on a Wednesday. But Thursday at the latest, he should have addressed it.
Yes, I think that's an option. I don't think he has to.
I think he should have, I'm saying, because all of this rhetoric, this vitriol that you're starting to feel from Met fans, and it's not anything vicious like, I hate this team, I'm never supporting this team. It's more like, what in the hell are you doing?
Right.
It just would have been calmed down if he would have said something. I feel your pain. We have a strategic plan. We love Pete Alonso. He'll always be remembered as a great Met. But this is blah, blah, blah. We're going someplace else.
Yes.
Like, and he never did it. And instead, the next thing you hear is, you bunch of idiots misinterpreting what was, you know, a good report. I don't know. It's like, it's almost like he's not reading the room.
Tone deaf right is now. The word. Yeah. It's just tone deaf. The other option, and I'm not even opposed to it, is don't say anything until the painting has been drawn. Like, if you're not going to ease the Met fans' pains from Diaz and Alonso, if you're not going to take that approach, then don't decide on December 19th to attack people about payroll. Then what I would say is don't say anything.
Yes.
Because I get it. We are in the midst of an offseason. Like, as angry as I may have been, or still am, about what's happened so far, I try to be open-minded enough to know, hey, the roster hasn't been built yet. So I think as owner, you have two options. Either make us feel better and feel our pain, or don't say a word. And Steve decided not to do either. He decided to jump in and call someone, I believe fans, a bunch of idiots. We'll get to your calls on this next, 888-808-1019. Plus, last night, two very special things happened. One was in Indianapolis, one was in Seattle. But to me, I have to admit, as an ISO, independent sports observer, my favorite moment of the night may have been that rarity, that comet that flies in the sky and you never know when it's going to come. And you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Last night, we heard a double bang!
Into the hands of Jalen Brunson. Knicks down two. 8 seconds to go. Brunson drives. Pulls back. Three-pointer. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson knocks it down! And the Knicks take the lead with 4.4 remaining.
That's why he's missed the clutch. They're reigning Mr. Clutch because of his shenanigans, his antics in the fourth quarter. We mentioned how tired the man was. Shot coming up short. Turned the ball off his foot. And now he comes up with a big three ball.
And you can see the look on the bench. He's exhausted. Absolutely.
Right.
Spent right now. But what a shot from Brunson to give him 25. And the Knicks take a one-point lead.
A double bang. And I know what you're thinking. Come on, guys. It's the Pacers, man. It's the middle of December. But no, Mike Breen felt the moment with guys sitting off of the NBA Cup victory and a game in that really felt ugly and lost the whole day. Mm-hmm. You got Diawara making a start. There's Jalen Brunson.
Porty made the start too, right?
That's right. Porty started.
It's like, where is everybody in this game? Oh, it's the six and whatever Pacers.
And not only that, you do it in front of Tyrese Halliburton, who is still smarting over that John Cena tap out. So I give Mike Breen credit. I did not expect a double bang when I sat down for Knicks Pacers, but hey, we got it.
It was still 4 seconds left. Give OG credit as well.
Oh, yeah, big defensive play.
The steal was a big deal.
I get it. But you know what? It's not even about the game. It's about the double bang.
Oh, the double bang.
Dude, those are rare.
Of course they are.
And I trust Mike Breen. For him to whip that out on December 18th against the Pacers, that's kind of amazing.
I mean, they are the current, what is it called?
Reigning and defending Eastern Conference champions.
No. The Knicks I'm talking about. what is it called?
The NBA Cup champions?
NBA Cup. They are the current NBA Cup champions. That was a huge win coming off winning against the San Antonio Spurs. That's huge.
Absolutely.
Not really huge, but you know what I mean.
It's worthy of a double bang. That's all I know. Now, let's get your phone calls. If you just missed it, earlier today, the New York Post had like a tiny blurb and a longer article by Mike Puma talking about Mets payroll and how the expectation is the payroll will be maybe a little bit lower than last year, right around 310 to 320. And then Steve Cohen took that and decided to say, as typical, the usual idiots misinterpreting a Post article on Mets payroll for 2026. And then he went on to over-explain everything to us, to fansplain things to us or owner-splain things to us about payroll. Let us go to, let's kick it off with Dan in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Usually it takes until about June for me to be this mad at the Mets, but Steve Cohen's managed to do it in December, so I give him a lot of credit. Is he kidding me with that tweet he sends out calling us idiots after everything that he's done this past month? What happened to the owner that 5 years ago, when he bought the Mets, he said, I want to win a World Series in 5 years. He was one of us. He was a fan, and he was going to put his best foot forward to do that. Now he's talking about waiver claims and things like that. The guy sells a piece of art that was a golden toilet in November the same week for $12 million. The same week he doesn't give any offer to Pete. It's ridiculous how brainwashed that David Stearns has made Steve Cohen now.
What I want Steve Cohen to understand is he may be listening and being annoyed by Dan's phone call. This is what happens when the Mets lose, and this is what happens when popular free agents leave. The benefit of the doubt is no longer there.
Yeah, this is how it's being perceived right now.
Correct.
The reality might be very different. But guess what? We're not privy to it. We're not in the meeting rooms. We're not even getting reports out of the meeting rooms. This is very odd compared to last year with Pete Alonso with his free agency. It felt like there was a report every couple of days. Somebody saying something. His agent saying something. His agent's, I don't know, mouthpiece saying something. It just felt like there was a lot of movement. This year, nothing.
I think what happened was the Mets were playing the Alonso market similar to last year, which is we're going to wait until he comes back to us and accepts a 2 or 3 year deal. And the difference was there was a team.
That was last year. And we had the QO, so it was different.
Tiki, I'm just explaining what I think happened.
Yeah, I mean,
the same way.
If that's what happened, then that's pure ignorance.
Well, that's the reporting.
Talk about morons. And what did he call them? Idiots?
He said, as typical, the usual idiots.
Yeah, so talk about idiocy. That's idiocy. Well, you thought it was going to be the same this year as it was last year.
Well, it also could be, not if they assumed it would be the same, but also said, this is as far as we're willing to go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, yes, a team like Baltimore comes in with a five-year offer, we're not going to match it. And according to that same article by Mike Puma, the Mets never talked to Alonso's camp until the Orioles made that offer, and it was a courtesy call back to the Mets just to say, this is happening, and the Mets were never going to make a counteroffer.
Yeah, we're good. Go ahead. We're good.
Right. Now, I wonder if the Mets did panic back and say, all right, here's 5 years, 150, if that would have changed anything. Because at that point, like we saw with Edwin Diaz, the cart may be out of the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. The horse may be out of the barn. By the way, coming up later with idiots with idioms.
Oh, God, this one was an epic.
We have so many misused idioms that we had to make it a very special audio package. Like, we can't sit here and listen to all of them. They have to be edited together because there were so many screwed up idioms in the week that was.
God, I mean, I go away for a couple of days, play some golf. Jeez.
I know. It's all your fault. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys, welcome back, Teak.
Thank you,
you know, when I first saw the quote, my first reaction was, oh, it's a shot at the writers, especially Puma, because Puma wrote that stuff about the clubhouse and maybe Cohen was pissed. But now I have to tell you, I don't think that's true, because he does say misrepresenting a Post article.
Right.
And all Cohen had to do was say, was swap the word usual idiots for usual suspects, and it wouldn't have been as bad.
Right.
But I think he let his frustration get to him.
Chris, I think you're right. If he says usual suspects,
it
makes us now say, oh, he's talking about the trollers. He's talking about the people who don't really understand the economics of baseball. He's not talking about the fans. He's talking about anybody that responds negatively to anything the Mets do. And that's not the fan. And so, yes, it is. Some of it is a fan, but he would have separated specifically the Met fan.
He would have lessened this. I still think there would have been a tone deafness to addressing something that's not what people care about, such as you lost Alonso, you lost Diaz, and the reporting over the last 2 weeks has made it seem like you didn't want Pete back, and you basically botched the Diaz negotiations. So that's the thing most Met fans are caring about, and you're ignoring that to just get defensive right. about the payroll.
Right.
So even if, yes, Idiot was left out, it wouldn't be as incendiary, but it still
yes.
wouldn't have been like eye on the prize.
No, no. It would have still felt dismissive, I think is the best way to think of it.
And the one thing you don't want to be is dismissive of your customers that you're probably going to beg to want to come back next
year. This is the reality in New York, and I figured this out very early in my career. It's one thing to think that the fan doesn't know anything. You go some places, it's casual fans, and they're just kind of like there, and they want to go have some tailgates and, you know, hang out. It's a social event. Yeah, if the game is great, fantastic. If not, whatever, I'm leaving. And they don't really care. Or they don't really know what they're watching or paying attention to. The New York fan knows exactly what they're saying. They know exactly what they're talking about. They know exactly what they're watching, and because they've seen it over years and years and years and years. Now, I don't believe that previous years inform what's going to happen in the current year, but you have a knowledge base to know when you're being sold a bill of goods or when you're being insulted or when you're being dismissed for your opinion. And I think that's what the Met man feels right now.
Let's go to Eladio in Clifton, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Eladio.
Hey, Tiki and Evan. Merry Christmas to both of you guys.
Likewise.
I think you're just seeing a human being frustrated. I mean, listen, this guy's been successful his whole life. He says we want to win something in 5 years. It's a lot harder than he thought it would be. And now he's being attacked, right? You know, he's just all about his casinos, this and that, this and that. And I think, and listen, what's the old saying? You don't text something out when you're frustrated.
Yep.
I think he was going after the trolls. That's what I think it is. He's frustrated. And, you know, and about not hearing reports, he said it himself last year. He was exhausted with his negotiations. This is not his thing. So I think what we're just seeing is someone who's frustrated. He's tired of hearing all these things. And I don't think, even if he comes out and says something, he's in a no-win situation because of so many people love Pete and Diaz.
Yeah.
No matter what he says, they're going to hate him.
No, I agree that until the Mets are winning games, forget about even the rest of the offseason, because as I laid out to you, Teak, when these moves happen, mm-hmm. I don't even think there's anything in the offseason that's really right. going to get the fan base fired up. The only thing you could do is build a team the way you want and start winning games. And if the Mets are sitting there in first place in the middle of July, Citi Field will be packed.
Yes.
And we will all look back at this, maybe still frustrated that Pete didn't get to finish his career as a Met, but we'll be happy. So you're right. You're never going to please everyone, but you can make things worse.
Yeah.
And this kind of annoyed Met fans.
Yeah.
Worse.
And again, it's just a social media post. It's really nothing. We don't know the context. He could have been thinking it or in his mind as he's typing it. It's coming off in a different way. But all we can do is read and interpret.
And remember this, Teak. John Mara and Woody Johnson and Hal Steinbrenner do not talk often.
Yeah.
And when they do, we listen to every word. We still play clips, and I still refer to what Mr. Mara said last January about, mm-hmm. I better be in a better mood.
Yes.
We still talk about Woody Johnson and what he said about Justin Fields.
Right.
We still talk about Hal Steinbrenner, not too long ago, talking about, well, people don't realize I got to pay the city $100 million. When an owner speaks, it's rare and it matters. And what you say matters.
Right.
So,
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
An angry tweet is gonna, we're gonna listen to it. We don't get to hear from you often, so what you say matters.
I'd argue that a tweet we listen more to than actually when the owner physically speaks, because it comes out of nowhere and we're all scrolling on our thumbs and we can't believe the owner tweeted to begin with. It's a little different than a microphone.
The other thing Steve doesn't even realize is that story by Puma was behind the New York Post paywall.
I know.
90% of people didn't even know about it.
Well, at least you know Steve's also spending money on the Post, which is good.
He clearly is. Let's go to David in Maplewood, New Jersey. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon.
What's up,
I just wanted to say I'm happy that you're on the 10 spot again. I enjoyed you guys on that on 10 spot. And I never had two more entertaining games than the Seattle and the Knicks game last night.
That was awesome.
It was unbelievable. But if you could explain one thing to me.
Go ahead.
I still don't understand that 2-point conversion. Why that counted as the 2-point?
All right, let's run it down. So The Seahawks are down by 8. They score a touchdown. It's 30-28. I think there was about 5.5 minutes to go. Seattle goes for 2. Sam Darnold throws what is called as an incomplete pass.
Yes.
And then the officials say, "Oh no, it's a backwards pass."
Right.
And it was clearly recovered in the end zone, even though the guy who picked it up didn't know he was scoring a 2-point conversion.
That's correct. So this is such an interpretive, and they need to change this rule, because ultimately, if you're going to let a play go on even after it's dead, it can't result in points. You know what I mean? It can't result in... They failed the 2-point conversion attempt.
Right.
They
right.
failed at it. So simply because it was a clear recovery in the end zone, it's just like a fumble forward. Now that I think about this, they misinterpreted this rule. Because if I was running and I fumbled the ball forward and it goes into the end zone and someone recovers it in the end zone, the ball comes back to where I fumbled it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else recovers it. Like you can't gain an advantage. Otherwise, I would just intentionally fumble a ball forward because Plaxico Burress is running beside me. I fumble the ball forward. It goes into the end zone. He picks it up.
But that's only in the last 2 minutes or on fourth down. So that right. doesn't apply to 2-point conversions.
That's why I'm saying they need to change this
So
rule.
You're saying it should apply
it
to 2-point conversions.
Absolutely should have, because that's what this is.
Yes, yes.
They didn't convert the 2-point conversion. I thought it was an incomplete pass. Let's just say it's a backwards lateral. That's kind of a handoff / fumble. How do you recover it forward of that point and it still count as a 2-point conversion? It can't.
My biggest issue with this play is that the official should never have blown the whistle.
Yeah.
Because once the whistle is blown, and the whistle was blown, right? I thought I saw the referee say incomplete pass.
The whistle's blown, but that does not matter, actually.
I know, and that's what bothers me, because everyone on the field, you're right, they can be coached up to just ignore the whistle and play it as if it's still a live ball.
But nobody was playing
but
the ball.
But no one did it, and that's why it looked so bad. Like, even the guy who clearly recovered it, think about it, he picked it up very casually and had 1 foot in the end zone.
Yeah. Right.
Like, no one actually played through the whistle. So I get it that the rule says, hey, they can always overturn it. I just wish if they didn't blow the whistle, it would have been a real football play.
To me, it's more the forward fumble thing.
I got you.
Because that's essentially what this was.
And Tiki, because I was fascinated by this last night staying up, and I know McCauley went on like further postgame. There's also a difference in terms of a ball carrier fumbling and this type of fumble, because it's not technically a ball carrier. It's a defender knocking a ball forward.
So even on the under 2 minutes and fourth down rules,
correct,
this still would have been legal.
It still would have been live because it's a defender knocking the fumble forward. Mm. So where... like where they picked it up last night, it happens to be the end zone. They would not have been able to fence it forward past then. You know what I mean? Like if he picked it up at the one, one.
But I'm saying the fumble rule goes back to where the fumble occurred.
Correct. Technically, though, when it's a ball carrier fumbling it. This was not a ball carrier fumble.
Okay,
it's
so
a
if we're doing the, what's whatever, you know, the last ditch, let's lateral the ball around the field.
Yeah, whatever they call it.
Whatever they
the
call
band
that.
Is on the field type the band of thing.
Exactly. If I throw a ball backwards to you, Sean, and you just it hits you in the chest because you can't catch, and it's on the ground, that's a fumble.
Yes.
That's not your fumble. That's my fumble.
Technically, you throwing the ball is the fumbler.
Right.
That's the way I thought that, too.
Right. So how is that?
Only thing I got confused in. McCauley said because it's the defender knocking it, they have knocked the ball that way.
Yeah, but the ball was backwards anyways. Because, see, think about it. They reinterpreted it as not a forward pass. It was a backwards pass, thus a lateral. Thus, since it wasn't completed, a fumble. So
their interpretation is that, I actually agree with you now that you the way you explain this, is that the offense did not advance the ball forward. The ball was deflected by a defender forward. So where they fall on it is not an advancement. It's where it fell.
This is not why officials should make a decision, but if they had upheld it as an incomplete pass and the two-point conversion failed, and who knows how the game plays out, obviously a little bit differently, there would be less conversation about this today. It became a bigger conversation because you created a play that looked like it was dead and was played like
it was
dead.
And they were at the kickoff when they overturned it.
That's what made this thing far worse.
Yeah.
So even if you look, because if you look at every frame of the replay, especially when the ball was tipped, I do think it was a backwards pass. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
But because everyone stopped playing, it just made it look worse to say, oh, yeah, the guy who casually picked up the football and happened to have his foot in the end zone, we're going to call that good 2-point conversion. Like, it made it a bigger issue than just simply saying, you know what, we're going to uphold this incomplete pass.
Right.
And it became a bigger deal. And obviously, the game then continued, and we had the classic. And I'm so happy Mike McDonald, the head coach of the Seahawks, said something. Because during those two timeouts for the 2-point conversion, I was obviously about to fall asleep, like most of us were.
Oh, yeah.
And I immediately went to tiebreakers and the division. And I realized that Mike McDonald had to go for two.
Yeah, because he was losing the tiebreaker.
Correct. If they play for a tie, they've already lost to the Rams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They lose the tiebreaker. So if it was the other way around, I would have argued, boy, the Rams should just play for the freaking tie. But because Seattle needed the victory based on the standings, and the reason I say I'm happy for Mike McDonald, after the game, he was asked, point blank, you have the audio, Sean? I'm just kidding. I didn't send it to you. Don't worry.
I would have if it was. I loaded everything up you sent today.
I'm playing with you because Sean is running the board for the first time in 18 years. Mike, first thing he brought up when asked about why he went for two is we knew the playoff situation.
Yep.
And I respect the hell out of that.
That's a hell of a head coach.
And then Kyle Shanahan was thrilled he went for two, too. Do you know why?
No, why?
Because the Niners still play the Seahawks, so by virtue of that win, the Niners can actually obtain the one seed by winning out.
That's right.
So that game benefited San Francisco's Jets.
They were all a game within one another.
Right.
Correct.
They're all
the Niners
together.
Are now live after that for the one seed.
Yeah.
Yes. Great job by Seattle. With that said, they're not going to the Super Bowl. Let's just be honest with each other. Nice victory. Cute victory. Wonderful victory. They're not going to the Super Bowl.
I would agree, but they also have a gritty team.
Very gritty team.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mike McDonald is a good coach. And last year, because I called one of those, maybe even two of his games, his first year, I wasn't sure. It was like he was a little bit confused. And then it figured it.
He is unconfused now.
Yeah, absolutely.
WFN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Brendan in Clifton, New Jersey. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, guys. This is crazy from Steve Cowan. I mean, to go on Twitter and refer to us as idiots because we're not considering waiver claims and minor league call-ups as part of the payroll. I mean, it's as tone-deaf as it gets,
right,
considering what's happened over the last few weeks. I'm really bothered by this. This is like as bad as it's been for Cowan, I think.
Well, I think when Steve bought the team, this was bound to happen. Mm-hmm. Like when you are active on social media and you listen to what people say and you want to react to it, sometimes your reaction, because you are defensive and you believe what is being said about you or organization is wrong,
or
can come out in a bad way.
Right, or unfair. And so he's trying to correct the record.
And what record did he correct?
That
the payroll's not going down? He basically said, I don't know, it's probably not going to go down.
Right.
And by the way, it's not about payroll number. It's about what are you going to do to improve this roster after losing Pete Alonso. And I'm not even going to say Edwin Diaz anymore because clearly they've done what they're doing to replace Edwin Diaz. We don't have to like it. They basically said, let's take the Yankees' eighth inning and ninth inning guy.
Right.
Now, Sean, I'll really test you.
What do you need?
This was a clip from yesterday.
Give me one second. I got you. Well, who's it on?
It's me referring to the back end of the Yankees' bullpen of Devin Williams and Luke Weaver. You got that one?
You talking about Luke Weaver and who?
And Devin Williams.
That's what you want to hear?
Yeah. Back in, it was an eighth inning, ninth inning combo. And I know you could use Luke Weaver earlier like we saw last night, so it's not even eighth, ninth inning. It's just two guys at the back end of the games who could get you potentially eight or nine outs in Devin Williams and Luke Weaver. That's as good as it gets. So I guess I should own that, right?
Devin Williams and Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
You mean Luke Weaver and Devin Williams.
Yeah, I know. I got to reverse now. But that was me in June of last year, so clearly I should be really happy about the Met bullpen since last June I thought it was as, quote, good as it gets.
But, Evan, your opinion's allowed to evolve after a year.
Oh, it's evolved.
Didn't we evolve as Yankee fans on Luke Weaver post-June?
Yes, basically Yankee fans blame Devin Williams and Luke Weaver for not winning the American League East. That is a fair belief that Yankee fans have.
Yeah, that's true, amongst other things.
So, yes, my opinion has evolved. What I would say is what at least gives me some hope is that if I felt that way in June, is it possible I can feel that way again?
You better hope you feel that way again come this June.
Well, I mean, I want to feel good. That's really good because I said it's the best eighth inning that didn't combo in baseball.
I know. That's what I'm saying. As now the Mets' eighth and ninth inning combo, you better feel that way this June.
I'd be ecstatic if I feel that way.
Are you going to?
I mean, do I feel that way right now on December 19th?
Yes.
No.
You'd rather be ecstatic than Ryan Stanek about that way.
Nice. No, I think I'd probably rather just have Devin Williams and Edwin Diaz and say that's my eighth inning, ninth inning combo. Two experienced big-time closers.
Well, out of all of those guys, Diaz, Williams, and Luke Weaver, the only big-time guy in a postseason World Series we know for sure is Luke Weaver. So. Mm.
That is true. I can't even argue with that.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.